yesterday we got up to Tosfot Balakutit. We've done the first half, so I'm just continuing from after there. So we just finished talking about the comparison between the Gemara and Bava Kamma. Bava Kamma had said how maybe you try and endanger what exactly the Knas Rav Meir was gave over onto the Kutim, what it lasted, and the conclusion was that it was not so much. So now we're assuming that they are now. On the other hand, we concluded that all the Kutim are Gary Emmet. So now that they're Gary Emmet, we have to work on that assumption. We're going to see what Tosfot has to say next. So Im Tamar, Im Ken Ma'ak Mash Malan, Chidu Yesh Le Knas Yisrael Le Kmurahi. So the obvious question is, well, now that we established that she's actually a Jewess, then, well, of course she would get a Knas, because isn't she Jewish? So Yesh Lemar Telo Zagadatech Telo Yavinan La Knas Shelo Yit Amu Bahen. Because you may have thought that, well, yeah, that she should get a Knas, but somebody had before, we'd had her Knas taken away because we had before. So here you said that, oh, that you shouldn't give her that here we would, that just as before we took it away because we were kind of the Kutim, so they took away their mamon that they would get from general Dine Nezikin. Here also, so we take away their Dine Knasot from the realm of Ketubot and the realm of Gittin as well. So therefore, based on the concept of Itamu Behen. So that's what you'd have thought, so that's why I had to tell you that now they still have a Knas. To counteract that fact. So Vim Tomar, Laman Damar Perak Sarah Diuksin, if you said based on the Gemara Kedushin, which we'd finished doing that Stul Kutim Mishum De Ebed Shifcha Nit Tamu Behen, but if you were to say instead that the issue is that we're even that they had Avadim and Shvachos intermarried to them, Amay Yeshim La Knas, then like well then there wouldn't be any Knas because we know that Eved and Shvachos don't happen to have any Knas at all. So Nemala Aiti Raya the love of Shivka Atushkili. Then you'd say whatever any of this case that came up, you're like, yeah, you have a Knas, so if you happen to be a Kuti, there's actually a proper lineage, you have a proof. So show me your Shtar Yochsin from going all the way back to the original Kuti converted, and then I'll give it to you. But if not, I assume that you're somebody's slave, and therefore we don't have to therefore I wouldn't end up having to pay you any Knas. So and this must be the Shmuel, the Amar Ain Holk Mamon Acharov. So this would have to be like Shmuel who says that we don't care about Dine Mamonos, we don't care what the rove is, as long as there's a chance of something, you say you have to prove it. Even if it's 99% sure that you're fine, unless it's 100% vadai, you can't take any money from me against my
force. That's the case in the Mechalkas Rav and Shmuel.
The Mechalkas Rav Haim. Now we're going to explain. There's two sides of Mechalkas Rav and Shmuel about how Dinei Mamonot works. So normally, say in terms of most realms of halacha, we have basically generally we Mechalak Achar Harov, i.e., that if we have a minority X and majority Y, then we follow the Y over the X. Doraisa. Derabanan, we tend to change things. Let's say for Isra Heter, normally there's Batal B'Shishim, stuff like that. But in general, the most simple case is that whenever there's a rove and then there's a miut, that we follow the rove.
I might want to correct something there.
Yeah.
Which is Shishim is not a violation of that principle. Shishim
isn't
originates from the issue of Tam. In other words, when it comes to the reason why Taroves, not all Rishonim, and those Rishonim who say that you require Shishim in the Torah, is because it's not a question, it is because Tam Ki'ikar is a separate issue. According to all Rishonim, when you're dealing with substances that taste the same, so it's Batal B'Rov, you need 51% of Heather, so that's not really an exception to that rule of Rav.
Okay. So if a few of the Rav, but even if you were hold of Rav, who holds different from Shmuel, who said that as long as there's any minority that you can't consider use the principle of Rav, Rav would say that you could still use Rav. So Ida Azel Ihu Gaba Havale Kvua. But the issue is that now you're going over to her.
What's the case? Anyone know what the case of Rav and Shmuel is originally? Just for those of you not familiar with it, to be familiar with it, did you bring the case? Or you bring
it? I didn't expect you to bring it.
What is the case of Rav and Shmuel? Any of you know?
I can pull it out.
Fanny.
I believe that if you sell a floor, the question is, did you sell it for shechita or for working?
Right, rigya, plowing.
Mm-hmm. Plowing. I think it's a shore that you basically have to chef because it's shenaga.
It's dangerous, right? So the Gemara, Benny is correct. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, the beginning of the fifth parak, Dachman Vavamanal, states, Itmar hamokar shor lachavero v'nimsa nalkon. You sell someone a shor, and it turns out that it's a habitual gorer. Therefore, you can't keep it around. You can shecht it. So in that case, hareis demekach tov. Rav amar hareis demekach tov. Shmuel amar yachas shalom ar l'shchita mechartivlach. Shmuel says no. The buyer can say, I sold it to you on the assumption for shechita purposes. That's your problem. You didn't tell me that you needed it for that. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Why don't we take a look? V'nechse igaver dezavin l'ridya or gaver dezavin l'nechsesa. Is this guy someone who typically buys it for shechita or for using it for plowing? In other words, if it's clear what his intent was when he bought it, then the seller can't say, oh, well, I sold it for a different purpose. So the Gemara says it's a case, v'gaver dezavin laha ulaha. So it's not someone who buys shvarim for Shrachtein, also buys shvarim to work his fields. So you can tell, and the Gemara's maskana is that after going through a couple of stages, that the machlokas is whether or not holchem b'mamra harov, that even though most people in this place are buying for plowing purposes, and therefore by delivering an ox that it can't be used for plowing because you can't keep it around, and you're not going to have it plow while you have it tied in chains, So Shmuel says that nonetheless you can say, since some people buy it for shechita, that's why I sold it to you, and you didn't say otherwise, ein holchem b'mamracha rov. And Rav says no, that you do follow rov, since most likely he bought it for the purposes of plowing and you gave him something that was unfit for that purpose. Therefore Rav says that it's a mekach tos, and you have to you reverse the sale. Okay, so that's a general principle that we assume, like Shmuel generally, in holchem b'mamracha rov, the one classic exception to the rule that holchem b'mamracha rov according to everyone is Beis Din. When a Beis Din takes a vote, you could just imagine that some Talmud Chacham, clever Chacham today, goes to a Beis Din, he loses by a 2-1 vote, not that we usually announce it, says, I'm sorry, it's nice that I lost, but in holchem b'mamracha rov. So no, that doesn't work. By Beis Din we say Rubo Kekulo, certainly, that when a Beis Din votes, the final vote, it doesn't matter what the breakdown was, it's unanimous. This one opinion, whatever the din is. Okay, so based upon that, the question is, what would the relevance be here? In other words, if someone is a kuti, but they're not sure, right? I mean, someone's not sure if they're Jewish or not. You don't know whether it's Jewish kuti, or Goyish kuti, or Eved kuti, right? You don't know the lineage. So midin safek, if such a person is ma'anes, if someone is ma'anes a kutis, so he should be able to say, prove that you're Jewish. Because if we're not sure that you're Jewish, even if the probability, even if the rove states that you are Jewish, nonetheless, it's not certain that you're Jewish in terms of relative certainty. And therefore, you have to prove it, otherwise I don't have to pay you knas. Now, just as an aside, a general observation, Chaim will talk again, don't worry. He's just breathing easier. This is what you do, by the way, in your doctoral dissertation defense. You get the advisors in the room talking to each other, because there's like an hour allotted for it, and you get them, you set them up to argue with them on their bats, and they argue about the field, and you just duck, and you keep quiet for as long as you can until they turn back and ask you more questions. So Chaim is, breathing easier. How do you ever have a, part of the questionnaire is who are his ancestors? How do we know that someone's parents are their parents?
Genetic testing.
Nice, Kosowski. Okay, next. How do we know what?
Chazaka.
Okay, what kind of a chazaka? There are two kinds of chazakos in halacha. This may be more important than even this sugya. There are two kinds of chazakos in halacha. It's relevant, by the way, in this Tosfos Tanya, that you should be aware of this as well. There's a chazaka, there are two kinds of chazakos. One is a status quo chazaka, meaning, what gemara is this, Toby? What's in there?
Avakama.
Okay. What, Daniel, what's inside this gemara? What gemara? What would the pages read? What was after?
Which one is that?
No.
He just answered it.
Avakam, right? Okay. Now, how do you know?
How
do you know a malach didn't come down and switch the pages? How do you know that some odd occurrence of atoms realigning themselves didn't turn this into a Gemara Ksuvos? You don't. You just assume that, because it's highly improbable, but and primarily it's what we call the status quo chazaka. We assume it was like this until now. Unless we have evidence that it has changed, we assume it remains in Gemara Bavakam. There's also, what? That's the chazaka that you deal with in mikvah, in the first Amud and Nida, and in mikvahs, and mishnayis, in the first parak or two parak, I think second parak of mikvahs, a mikvah shenim devin and sechaser, originally was malay. One of the chazakas, there's a status quo chazaka. There's also something called a chazaka that asimi koach ruba. For example, the Mishnah in Yevamos, the way it's understood, I think, by the Gemara, is that if a man has two wives and he goes overseas with one of the wives, and then witnesses come back and say that he died, and let's say he was there for some period of time, so it may be that, maybe, it's complicated, but al pi din Torah, this woman is, and there were no children when he left. But let's say he had just married this second wife, and they went on a honeymoon, and then they stayed on an extended honeymoon. They stayed there for, you know, a couple of years. Word comes back that he has died with no further information. So here you actually have two chazak. Now, what does this woman do? She needs jibum or chalitza, you might say, right? Well, maybe. Whether she needs jibum or chalitza from the deceased brother is really the subject of two conflicting chazakas. One chazaka is, the last thing we knew, she was married to him and he had no children. Last thing we knew is he had no children. That's the chazaka of status quo. The chazaka da'asi mikoach ruba, a chazaka that stems from the power of rov, is that rov nashim is abros fiodos. Most women who cohabit with their husbands in the course of a certain amount of time will become pregnant and give birth to a ben kayama. Okay, or even take a simpler case. Let's say the wife was pregnant. And they went on a honeymoon. Okay, and she hasn't heard anything about the wife and the child, but she heard that her husband died. So the assumption is, rov nashim or mubara certainly are yodos of bar kayama. A small number will miscarry or will have a child who's born who was never viable, so it doesn't exempt her from yibum or chalitza. Okay, but most women will give birth to a viable of lad shel kayama, and therefore she is patur for yibum chalitza. That chazaka that we would call it sometimes a chazaka is a chazaka the asimi koach ruba. Or, for example, when we talk about societal behavioral norms, I don't know if this has changed or not, but Chazal have a principle that milso davida legaluya lo mishakre inshi. Something that is eventually going to become public, people don't lie about. I thought that during the Clinton years, I thought that certain behavior, most of you have to remember, the behavior the president suggested, that not only was it milso davida legaluya mishakre inshi, but even milso degaluya already mishakre inshi. But we still work with the chazaka. Most people have a sense of shame. They don't want to be publicly embarrassed, and therefore, a milso davida legaluya lo mishakre inshi. But that's based upon a rote. That's based upon projected statistical probability of people's behavior. That's not a status quo chazaka. So coming back to the question I asked you, but we're talking about lineage. How do you know who your parents are? So, the truth is, your mother is very, very straightforward. How do you know who your mother is? How do you know for sure it's your mother? All right, you remember? Some of you know, like not Dr. Seuss, but Are You My Mother? Right, that book? Maybe some of your younger siblings?
Yeah.
So how do you, or nephews and nieces, young nephews and nieces, maybe you read to them. So how do you know someone's your mother? There are witnesses, right? The nurses and forgetting about the question. The Gemara talks about this action in Kiddushin in the fourth parak about shlosha ham nemanos on a child. One of them is a chaya. A chaya, the midwife, has nemanos, but only the altar, only immediately to identify if they're multiple women, which child came from which. There's a whole discussion. We showed him about this. What's the basis if she's not really a kosher aid? But that's it. That's an issue. And Chazal were concerned about it. So a mother, you can definitely know, Mr. Rothenberg.
Isn't there a way to possibly mix up babies?
Yeah, it happens. I don't want to happens all the time, but it has happened. Some famous mix-up.
So, that idea of having the nurses as witnesses, it could be a witness of giving birth to a baby.
You can understand how there could have been two kosher eidim who know the woman, who see the child. The child comes out with identifiable features, and that this is this child's. And we don't assume that the child gets swapped later. They didn't have nurseries in the hospitals like we do.
They also didn't have hospitals back then. You got married, and most people were born in.
I know, although the Gemara is envisioning a scenario in which you have multiple women in the same room giving birth. Not a hospital, I understand.
Like a mother and daughter.
So anyway.
It actually happens.
Anyway. Yes, you know the difference between an Orthodox conservative and Reform wedding.
At the Orthodox wedding,
the mother of the bride, mother of the bride is pregnant. They say at the conservative wedding, the bride is pregnant. At the reform wedding, the rabbi is pregnant. That's a very old joke. You can date it. You can date it based upon that is clearly between conservative and reform. Okay. Weinreich, I just want to identify that was your comment there. Okay. So anyway, so the mother we know. What about the father? How do you ever know who the father is?
Chazaka.
What's the chazaka?
Rovilo
Sachar Baal. That was the assumption. Now, let me ask you a question. But what is the impact for Dinei Mamonos? It's not a small thing. The Gemara in Chulin has a question. Minayin da azlinan basar ruba. A principle you take for granted. So the Gemara starts out by stating Achrei Rabim Lahatos by Beisdin. But then the Gemara says that's only a ruba the Isa Kaman. A ruba, a statistical majority that's not based upon probability of the general rule, but we have right in front of us. Right in front of us. If we play a shell game, right, we can talk about what's the probability, that there's a ball or whatever he is under this particular cup. And we can talk about, that's called a ruba the Isa Kaman. So that's fine, but how do you know that you can follow Ruba de Lesa Kaman when it's based upon a general statistical probability? The Maskana of the Gemara isn't clear, but note, it's interesting, the Gemara asked this question as a very long sugya. It also, that same sugya also says, Minayin does lina basar hazaka. And I'll just tell you what the raya the Gemara gives, so she can help to understand and remember what a status quo hazaka is that when a Kohen declares a bias with a nega in it, a nega tzaras to be tamei, so he has to exit the bias in order to declare it. But the question is, how does he know that in the time he left and walked out of the house and closed the door, how does he know that the nega didn't recede? And yet he declares the bias tamei. That's based upon, the Gemara wants to say that's a status quo chazaka. You assume that because he just looked that it was there, he steps out, the chazaka is the nega is still there, and that's why the Kohen declares the bias tamei. So the answer that the Gemara gives, so the Gemara says, how you go, Basar Ruba? So one of the rayas the Gemara tries to bring is from the fact that we assume that a father, we kill a person for striking or cursing his father. So the mother, the fact that we kill or strike a person as such, so that we understand. That's because it's possible to, the Torah could be, in theory, even if you didn't follow a rov, the Torah could in theory be talking about a case where there actually Adam, that this woman gave birth to this child. But when it comes to the father, how do you ever know? So the Gemara tries a couple scenarios how you might know, but it really doesn't have any examples. No, I'm sorry, if the Gemara is kind of doche, it's not clear whether the dechia is a good dechia. So the bottom line is that when we talk about a person's father and their lineage, that is only based upon a chazaka da asi mikoach ruba. There is a story, I get to tell it once a year, I mean, I think I told it last year. It's probably an apocryphal story about Reb Chaim and the Beis Halevi. That's the way I heard it. The Beis Halevi asked Reb Chaim, he said, if I, and Beis Halevi was Reb Chaim's father, he was the first Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. So he asked that Reb Chaim, if I and your mother ask you to get a cup of a drink of water, who do you get for first? So Reb Chaim said, I get it for you. So his father said to him, yeah, but I'm your mother is your mother b'toras vadai. I'm only your father b'toras rov. So apparently Reb Chaim responded and said, yeah, but if I were to get her kos first on those grounds, there could be no greater sign of disrespect for my mother. So anyway, that's how the story goes. Okay. I know. It's usually not the pause. It's you read the sadoras. They're slower. You've been here long enough, Nagar. So anyway, so keep that distinction in mind, that by a father, to know who a person's father is, it's a chazaka, the asi mikoach ruba. Whereas by a mother, it's possible to know via the avadaya. So just remember, store away those terms. You have two kinds of chazakas, chazaka da asi mikoach ruba versus chazaka of status quo. And then you also should keep in mind the principle of ruba the isa kaman and ruba the leisa kaman. It's not clear with the maskan, the gemara, we know we follow a rov, period. By dine nefashos and things like that. By dine mamonos, it's a little more complicated. Okay, Chaim, now I give you the podium again. Okay. Or the megaphone, whatever it is.
Okay.
Slow. Go ahead.
So,
explain the Kashan Tosfos.
That's right. So the Kashan Tosfos says we follow Shmuel, who says that Rov is that you can that whenever there's any, as long as the Rov is an absolute Rov, as an i.e. 100 versus 0, then you'd always follow. You'd have to be choshesh for the minority in terms of you can't be motzei mamon. But Rav, on the other hand, would say that Rov would work. So the question, according to him, for Rav, you'd assume well, then that'd also be a problem. So how would you wind up having this question according to Rav as well? Because Ida Avil Ihu Gabav, and if he went over to her, Havale Kavua. Because once he goes over to the woman and now there's an actual person involved, that becomes Kavua. So this is similar to the case of let's say if you find a piece of meat in the street. If you find a piece of meat in the street and there's five kosher butcher shops, four are kosher, one is not, then you can assume that it is kosher. On the other hand, if you knew that you went into a butcher shop today to pick up one of that piece of meat and you don't know which one, then you would not be able to follow the Batar Rov in that case because it's a Dever Kavua because you went into a store and that store is a fixed point. Fixed point, based on this concept, you are not allowed to actually view it as a minority anymore once it's a Dever Kavua and you have to go to Bavar what actually the circumstances are, and if you can't, well, then you're stuck and you can't have it.
You don't think you were Yotze explaining that, do you?
I was definitely not Yotze at all explaining that, but it was a very, very long sugya, so I do not think that, so.
You have to explain Kavua and Parish to those who are not familiar with it. Firstly, this is a reference, by the way. You got to step back for a moment, okay?
Back to your boat.
What? It's in Psachim in the first parak, but more importantly, Tosfos without citing is referring to a Gemara at the end of the first parak here when he talks about Ida Asli Gabah. So let me explain. You have to. It's the Gemara and Daf Tezvav.
Yeah.
So there's a principle which is as follows, called the Parish Meruba Parish. What does that mean? So the Gemara gives the following cases. I'm sorry, they used different numbers, Chaim. You could have stuck with that.
Oh, nine. It was nine.
There are teisha chanuyos selling basar shmuta, and one chanos is selling basar nevela. So you have 10 stores, and in the makom of the stores, you can identify clearly that they have a tuda. 9 of them say kasher under the hashgacha of the Rabbanut HaRashid of Yerushalayim, and one of them says kalat treif. You know, under the hashkacha of the Samaritans. Okay, whatever it is. Okay. Let's bring our Samaritans back. Now, you walk into one of those stores and you buy a piece of meat. And now, after you leave, you didn't pay attention to the tuda and you realize that there are 9 of the stores are selling kosher meat, 1 is selling treif, but you don't know which store you bought it from. That's case number 1. Case number 2 is when a little birdie came, but we didn't see the little birdie coming, and he picked a piece of meat out of one of the stores and he dropped it in the middle of all the stores, equidistant from every door, okay, just to get away the problem of rovikaro. That's why. Simple. Okay, now, there's a difference in the halacha between these two cases. In the first case, we say that kol kavua kemechza mechzadami, even though there are 9 selling basar shchuta and 1 selling basar nevela, and there's from a pure statistical probability 90% chance that it's kosher, and a 10% chance only that it's treif, we say it's 50-50. In fact, that might even work in the reverse direction too. It might even be that if 9 were selling treif and 1 was selling kosher, it might be, not clear, I don't know if this is discussed explicitly, it might be that's also treated as sveika d'oraisa. Not clear.
How would that help you in this case?
It won't help you in this case. It might be relevant in other cases. And I want to talk about why now. But I'll put that point aside. Leave that aside. But if you find it in the middle, call the parish Meruba Parish. If you find it now and you're dealing with this one piece of meat whose origin you don't know, it means you follow a rove. Which means, even though we don't, Lamaisa, there's a Xera de Rabbanon against Basar Shinis Alem Min Ha'ayin, that meat that was concealed from the eye. But in Medina de Gemara, before they had that Chumra, if you have that Chumra, not all the Amorim agreed, if you were in a city where most of the meat that was being sold was kosher meat, and a piece of meat is found in the street, that meat is assumed to be kosher because it's parish. Why is there a difference between kavua and parish? Gemara doesn't really explain, but it seems to be that the difference between the two is actually related to something we spoke about yesterday or the day before, I think it was, which was the asham talui. By an asham talui, right, when you violate an avera, maybe violate an avera that involves karis, you did it b'shogeg. You ate a piece of meat, you're not sure whether it was nevela, whether it was a chelev or shuman. So chelev is a isidaraisa, and chayv karis, chatas, shuman is permissible to eat, it's the permissible fat. So you're not sure whether you ate chelev or not. So sometimes you bring an asham talui. But we pointed out the way the Rambam paskens, according to one day in the Gemara and Krasos, that if you're dealing with one piece of meat, you walked into a room, there was one piece of meat on the table, safek chelev, safek shuman, and you ate it, not realizing there was a safek, you do not bring a karban asham talui. Only if there were 2 pieces of meat on the table, one which was vadai chelev and one which was vadai shuman, you ate one and you don't know which one you ate, then you have to bring an asham talui. Why? Because we say that ik revis chazik yisura. Or maybe even, and the term might be ikva yisura. There was vadai yisur there. There's vada issa there, and therefore you have to bring an asham talui. But if we're not even sure that there was issa present, it was just a safek, so that you don't have to bring an asham talui for. It seems to be that a similar concept is at the root of kavua and parish. In fact, I don't remember for sure if the term in the Gemara is ikva isura that would even suggest this more strongly. And that is the following. We look at the time that the safek comes about, what we call, what Acharonim often call the leidas ha-safek. When does the leidas ha-safek occur? It occurs when we first come in contact with the meat, this piece of meat. If I walk into a store and I buy a piece of meat, at the time that I bought that piece of meat, that I, even though I wasn't paying attention, at that very moment, which is the real leidas ha-safek, my relationship to this particular chefza, which is, we want to know if it's asur or mutar, at that time, the isur was nikar bimkoma. It's a term that I think the Acharonim is. It was Nikar, maybe the Mishonim. It's Nikar bin Koma. At that stage, the Isser, it could be identified right then. We know exactly where the meat that's Osser is. I just failed to look at the Tuda. But when I first engage and come in contact with that meat, it's possible to establish right then. There's no suffix. At that time, this ikvaisura, I just don't know, I wasn't paying attention, so I don't know later. There we say, because ikvaisura, it's treated as a suffix, and therefore, we don't say that you follow a majority, you follow statistical probability, but rather, you say that it's treated as a suffix. However, when I first encountered the piece of meat, it's sitting in the middle of the street, equidistant between 10 shops. So that is when the legas hasafek takes place. And at that point, it's not that if I paid attention, I would know which, in fact, whether it's us or mother. When I first come in contact with it, the tarobes, the mixture, the suffek has already occurred where it's not identifiable. And then we say that as linan basar ruba, you have statistical probability. The Gemara in the first parak in Subas provides actually a makor min haTorah. It's not a simple makor. It's a drasha, and it's not a drasha even karav lupshat. It's va'arav lo v'kama lo va'arav lo ashi yiskaven lo. And the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. It's in daf tezva. The Gemara there points out the following: the Mishnah deals with the situation where a young woman was raped and she doesn't know who the rapist is. And the question is she kshera l'kahuna or not? Is she allowed to marry a kohen? That would depend upon whether the person who raped her was a Jew in good standing with regards to his yichus, not with regards to his behavior. In which case, she's not psula kahuna because she could theoretically have married the guy. Therefore, that bia does not passel her for the kahuna. But if she had bia, say it was a guy who raped her or some so yichus who raped her, so then she would not be allowed to marry a kohen. So your intuitive instinct would be, oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. It's not on that case. It's on a different case. I take that back. It's on, leave it on that case for the moment. That may not make a difference. The question would be, the Gemara makes the following distinction in terms of determining whether or not we follow a rov. And let's say most of the city are Masi and Lekahuna. They're mostly Ksheva Yichus. So the Gemara suggests that it depends, again, it won't work in the rape case. It's actually a different case. It depends who went to whom. If she went to him, then that's called kavua. He's the potential isser here, right? We know she's a ksheira to start with. We don't know who the boel was. Therefore, if she went to him, and let's say she's not even sure, but the point is that you could have checked the shtar yichus right then. He was identifiable, and we would know at the time of the leidas hasafek. It was known. She just didn't bother to find out. You can't follow a rov in that case. If, however, he came to her, so he was poresh from the rest of the men. That's what they say. Then it's considered parish and meruba parish. So it all depends whether ihi azla legabe or ihu azla legaba. Depends who went to whom. So now, when it comes to kutim, to determining who their lineage is, do you follow a rov or not? So Tosis is saying, even according to Rav, that you should follow a rov by dine mamanos, and according to everybody, most of the kutim are ksheirim. Most of them are not avadim. Most of them are not avadim. But in terms of determining whether this or shvachos, whether his mother is a shivcha or not, that would depend upon whether or not his father went to her or she went to him. That would depend whether or not it was a kavua case or a parish case. If it's a parish case, then we assume his mother is Jewish. But if it was a kavua case, then even Rav would say you're not entitled to a knas, because kol kavua kamechza mechzadami, and Rav certainly would be moed to Shmuel that in absence of a rov in your favor, even if it's you have 50%, you cannot collect money in that case. So that's what Tosus means when he says that vafila l'rav ida azel iu gaba havele kavua v'chol kavua kamechza mechzadami. Now she, here it depends upon the woman, not the man. If she is kavua, if the man went to her, then she is considered kavua, and it's a 50-50 suffix whether or not his mother was a shivcha. True, if she had gone to him, then according to Rav, you wouldn't have a kasha. But according to Shmuel, no matter what, and according to Rav, if the man went to the woman, you now are dealing with a situation where we say, kemechta mechta dami, and therefore, ein holchen b'mama, either ein holchen b'macha rov according to Shmuel, or ein holchen b'mama nachar hamechta according to Rav. So that's the question Tosus has. Why do you, if a kute, according to Rava only, according to the Manda Amar, that the psul is not because of a suffik mamzeris, but the psul is because suffik eved shivcha, why is there knas for a kutis? Bishlama, if you say suffik mamzer, or some other hezver, okay, so the Jewish vaday knas, suffik whether they're psul or not. But if you say it's a question of eved shivcha, question whether this is a shivcha or not. So then you should say in Hochamama on a harov, and even according to Rav, it might be that you can't follow the statistical majority in this particular case. Okay.
So the answer is that we would have to follow, based on the chazaka that her father has, her ancestry, that they were actually kutim, that they were not, and not the fact that they may or not have been married into some point into another shivcha, particularly shivcha, because it says follow the, that are following the father here.
Okay, now one second. So here's my question: what kind of chazaka is this?
Whether
it's
status quo or the
other. Is this a status quo chazaka or is this a rov chazaka?
Rov. You can't really say a status quo for. You can't say what they were.
It can't be a rov chazaka. Why not? We already have information about statistics. Tosus assumed that in the first part. He said if it were chazaka, the asim yikoach ruba. Ain't hochem that by the chazaka achar rov.
It's not a play in this situation.
What the rov won't help you in that. The whole assumption told us that rov kutim aksherim. The cheskas havasa here is not the chazata dasim yikach ruba, and it won't help you. Statistical majorities don't help you. What is the cheskas havasa here? Because ain't hochem mamon achar rov. A chazaka dasim yikach ruba fundamentally is a rov. So if we Tosus just this, and when Tosus just said, asked the Kasha and said, according to Shmuel, in Hocham Acharov, what rove was he talking about? He's talking about the rove of Kutim were actually Jewish. So when you talk about Cheskas Havasa here, that they're Kutim, which means Jewish Kutim, which Chazak is that? It's a Chazak Nasim Kochruba. That's exactly the rove that Tosus was talking about in the Kasha. So it has to be the status quo Chazak. It means you go up a certain point in time, and there are complications in this, but I'm going to oversimplify. And you knew that the Kutim were Jewish. At some point, somewhere it got mixed in a shivcha. But to any given person has a cheskas avasa was that they were Ksherim, that they were Jewish Kutim. And therefore, Tosa says, the reason why, even according to Shmuel, in this case you can follow Rov is because it's not only that you have a Rov, you also have a chazaka. Not a chazaka, the asim yikach ruba. You have a status quo chazaka plus a Rov. You know when Shmuel, by the way, says, when is it that you don't follow a rov by mamonos? You don't follow a rov lahotzi mecheskas mamon. Benny, you have the money. I have the ox. I want my money back. To get the money from you, hamotzi mechal varaya. So my miut, I want to get the money back from you. Your miut plus the chazaka overwhelms my rov. If there were no chazaka, status quo chazaka at all, which is kind of hard to have by mamonos, but you had such a case. If there were no status quo chazaka at all, of course Rove wins out over Miut. It's that Miut doesn't work to override the Cheskas Mamam. Rove doesn't work to override the Cheskas Mamam when there's a Miut to support the Cheskas Mamam. So in this case, we're not talking about the Chazaka Dasim Mikach Ruba. We're talking about the status quo Chazaka is that his mother was, this woman is a free Jew. Combined with, but we know that something might have undermined the status quo Chazaka, but that's a Miut. Only a small number of the Kutim are Jewish, so therefore even Shmuel in this case would agree that you would follow a rove because of the status quo Chazaka. Of course, this raises one problem, Chaim. What's the next line? I dressed it up so nicely, so what should you say to me now?
Well, we just won out there, so why there be a problem anymore?
Chazaka is no psul at this point.
Yeah, why don't we let them marry? Why do we concerned about it if we have a chazaka plus a rove? So even Tosfos, he says, even the in psul, the chachamim would go there. Regabe mamonos, they left it aldino.
Oh, there's a question on the chazaka.
No.
There's a question about their status quo, isn't it?
So Tosus glosses over that particular point at this moment. The question that's a very important question.
That might be psul.
Yes, but then Lagabe Mamanos Hadron Koshal Dukta. If you argue that the Cheska status quo, a Cheska Savasa really isn't there because of Leidas HaSafek, so then Hadron Koshal Dukta Tosas, right? You're once again left with
the
rove.
I think that's the point, and that's almost the next line of Enoch HaZaniskar, meaning Enoch Hinami, it's not a perfect rove. We're going to rely on this rove now because of Enoch HaZaniskar.
But that sounds like you make it. But then you didn't need to say the lundus, right? You could have just said you're right. By principle, we should have said Hilchom Aruch Harov, which Shalaychot Enisko. In this case, we rely upon the Rov. Is it a real chazaka or not a real chazaka? That's what I'm asking.
I think that's a lot.
You want to say it's in between chazaka?
Yeah, I mean it's not a perfect chazaka. That's why we're using this to throw it over. But we make them puzzle, but we would. But for not, I mean that's exactly what the Tosfos are
saying. So I think that when you study the din of chazaka, I don't think. I know. In other words, I think once you have a reyes on the chazaka that you're going to argue
for hishbacha, then you have to do the same thing for mamah.
Yeah. In other words, right. There's no. If you want to say it's a gzeira, the question is, I would say differently. It's either the chazaka is there still, despite the reyes, or it's not there anymore.
The way the Tosfos reads is almost exactly like that. Meaning, when it comes to the inyan psul, lo makbin in la chazaka.
I think you are reading very well. The question is, does Tosfos think there really is a cheskas havasa, or there really isn't a cheskas havasa? I'm not sure that there is. I don't know if the halacha has this. You know, I think it's quantum. I don't think there's an in between state. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. You know, the classic case. In fact, and usually when there's a suffix whether something happened, so that's not called really the chazaka remains in place. The example would be the first mishpish in the second parak of Mikvos, I think, that a mikvah shenimdad v'nimsa chaser, on the one hand, there's a chazaka the mikvah did have 40 saw at some point. On the other hand, it chaser b'fanecha, right? The reyesa is right in front of you. Not a suffix whether it's chaser arba, but vade chaser arba. So we say that Israel is chazaka. I don't know in a case where we don't know that you're, in other words, we don't know who changed, so I think al pidin, I would have thought that the chazaka still remains there. If the status quo still is what it is, we're not sure if the status quo has changed. Once we know the status quo has changed in the case of Mikvos, now we're trying to figure out when the status quo changed. But if you don't know that the status quo has changed with respect to this person, I presume al pidin, it should still be, the status quo should still remain in place. That's why you could get a knas. I think Tosfos means, you could disagree with this, even the legabe psul the chachamim goes there, so why weren't they goes there? Because of the reyes on the chazaka, that because somewhere a psul got mixed in, they would go there to aser them bakahol. Why did they do the same to the legabe the knas? Once you're going to be goes there, that they're a problem of yuchsin, they're avadim, or whatever else, so why not say they don't get a knas as well? So there we can't. We're not going to make the gzera on the knas because shelo yechod
eneska. So according to you, you think the chazaka is good.
Midarais, it's really good, and the rabbanim were gozer against legabe yosem, but they weren't gozer legabe mamanos because shelo yechod eneska. That's what I think. Zach,
Can't you just say that it's being machmir in both ways? You mean machmir in
the psul? But yes, except for the other way, it's not true. My mamanos, the chumra by mamanos is shelo lahotzi maman.
But she might be.
Doesn't matter. By mamanos, there is no such thing theoretically as a chumra or kula by mamanos, because what's a chumra for one is a kula for the other. But that when you were in the analog to being machmir by iser is by mamon not being motzi mamon. That's the principle. By suffik iser principle, the din is hof on the chumra. By suffik mamanos, a motzi and mamon. What?
Is that a chazaka?
Yes. Correct. But that I'm telling you that
chumra,
I wouldn't call it a chumra, but the idea, if you're going to say, let's be machmer on both sides, that was what the Yerushalmi, by the way, said. The Yerushalmi by Kuta said, legabe iser, we're machmer to treat them as safek mamzer. Legabe the knas, we're machmer to treat them as safek goyim. Right? So, because that's the chumra. Chumra by mamanos is shelo lahotzi maman. That's its rule. Sprung.
I just don't really understand how they have a chazaka that's not based on rov. If your status as a kuti goes through the father, and each father is determined...
No, it goes through your mother, really, but cheskas havasa is idiomatic. It should have been cheskas yimhasa, if you really want.
It's a general...
But mother is what matters here. In this topic of Eved and Shivcha, all that matters is the mother. Right? One mother up the line is a Shivcha, and you're done. No mothers up the line is a Shivcha, and you're fine. You could be Eved ben. You could be the son of Eved ben Eved ben Eved ben Eved, ish bipiyish ad Chom, or Canaan. But nonetheless, if all the mothers are bas benos chorin, so you're fine. Spence?
I just wanted to clarify for myself that so in this situation, since we have rov and status chazaka, then we can.
In this case, the status quo chazaka supports the rov. So another way of looking at it arithmetically might be that the status quo of cheskas havasa cancels the status quo cheskas mama, and now you're just left with a rov and a miut. The rov says that he's Jewish, and the miut, you know, the rov is not his father's. The rov is that we know that a rov kutim are Jewish, free Jews. Okay, on top of which we know that at some point all the kutim were Jewish, and then somewhere in Ebe, a shifcha got mixed in. So we don't know if you came from that line or not. But the status quo chazaka is that they were kshevim.
That status quo chazaka is what again?
Is that they were once all were Jewish? So we assume until we know that you're not Evet, until we know you're not a shifcha. So until that point, we assume that you're a ben, that you're baschal.
Even according to Shmuel.
Even according to Shmuel, and it's that status quo chazaka combined with the rov that overrides the cheskas mama with the miut. Okay. Now for the fun part.
So the yankmas we know in lahu shaloi. So is it? Well, yes, you really shouldn't be following. You're right. That in theory, the chazaka should get her out of the knas. Well, in yankmas we've been on lahu shaloi yehechoteskar. But even though really not considered to be Jewish, but in regards to knas, we allow it to slide, even though it goes against the principle of chazaka that we just put forward. Because otherwise, people would have no punishment if they happened to take advantage of a kutit. Vim tomar v'amai lo chashiv nami almana l'koing. So now we're shifting how our questions are going. Instead, we're asking, well, that's fine. Now a kutit fit. The question is, well, once we know a kutit fits, the question is, well, that opens up for many other categories that should also theoretically fit in our list in the Mishnah.
That is the thing I tried to bring up from yesterday, from the Miri, just to put it better than I did yesterday. The Miri wants to say that from the Mar Nidal, that Shaloi Hekel Niskar is only a phrase we use to defend a Yisrael, a female Yisraelis, and not anyone that's not a fully Yisrael.
Okay.
And that would be Rashi's response to Tosis's way of learning things.
Why would you ever say that?
Shaloi Hekel Niskar? I never said that. The Miri has to do with a lot of the Gemara. If you look at the Gemara Nidal, check that first.
I just want to understand. How is that? Oh, first, before you're going back to Rashi now.
I'm just saying that the Meiri defends Rashi. I mean, this is Tosos and Tosos is reading. The hole in Tosos is reading would be that Rashi would be against employing Lo Yehechot Niskar in defense of a Kuti instead of Yisraeli. And that's one of the problems that Rashi would have with Tosos, according to the Meiri.
Okay, except that according to Tosos, the Shelo Yechotei Niskar is defending someone who Alpi Din is Jewish. No? In other words, between a Rov and a Chazaka, according to Tosos, she's Jewish. But they were Gozer, as a Psul Yosin, but they weren't Gozer on that Shelo Yechotei Niskar.
I mean, I was having something with the Yaakov also about whether or not, meaning why would he have to define a Kuti? Does he give me the sense? Why would we still define a Kuti? The whole point is that she's basically Israeli now. We still call her a Kuti.
Well, so don't pull the Gabi Psul Yosin. We certainly say she's Kutis and you can't marry her.
So, according to his idea, I think, is that we only employ Shloi Hechel Tadiskar for a Israeli Lagamri.
Okay. But again, according to Tosos theory, she really is free Jew.
But she's not, because she also can't marry her, because she's really good.
So that's Xera Midrabbana.
Meaning his point
you
is...
If you think that Midrabbana, and you were making her into a Goya, or a Shifcha, then you also couldn't give her a Knas. It wouldn't make sense to give her a Knas, just because she's a Lechek.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to go back for one moment. This is Chaim said, well, the next part of Tosa starts to play Bikias games with you. And we're going to, I think maybe and I will interrupt you again, but this time not your fault. I want to have it in a moment. I want to give you an overview of all the Yisurei Bia in the Torah. You will need this data. Sam, are you carrying a thing? You will need this data as you go through the next Amud Beis, and as the Gemara goes through it, but it starts with Tosfos. Okay. Now, before we do that, I want to talk about Rashi for one more moment. Rashi, we gave two possible explanations. Yesterday, I think. Right? One possibility in Rashi was that Rashi holds that they are, how do we say it? That they're Geri Arayos. And Los Ischatein Bam is Bigi Yusan, they're not Jewish. But then you're left trying to explain, according to Rashi, why is there a knas? What do you do with the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph and so on? We also explain, you could explain Rashi, that's the way Tosfos explains Rashi in Lisek Bekusha. You could also explain Rashi as saying that they're Geri Arayos, they are quasi-Jewish, and therefore there's an Isser of Los Ischatein Bam, Bigerusam, the way the Ravid and the Me'iri said. You said that's how the Me'iri wants to read Rashi here. There is a third possibility in Rashi, although I don't know what to do with Nishum Los Ischatein Bam. What is Rashi Shita on Geri Arayos? In fact, this is almost Mochrach. What are Geri Arayos according to Rashi? In Yevamos Chavdalah, Kutim. Kutim. That's whatever the reason is, they are Kutim. What is the Maskana of the Gemara in Yevamos Chavdalah, Legabe, the status of Geri Arayos, namely the status of Kutim? Kula halacha kulan gerim. Which means, according to Rashi, if Rashi here is working with what he says in Yevamos, it means that Kutim are Geri Arayos, and in fact they are Jewish. And that does away with Tosus's Kasha, you don't give a Knas to a Goya. She isn't the Goya. The problem in Rashi is to try to explain why does he say V'yeshron v'lav lo sishatin bam? Because after all, unless he holds like the Ravid and the Me'iri, which I am intuitively doubt, because that's a sheet of Chachmei Provence. You know, was Rashi really the precursor to that? Who knows? It doesn't seem likely. It doesn't seem the kind of thing that Rashi would even say. It's a very Ravid-like thing to say, I think. It's brilliant, but it's not the kind of approach you expect from Rashi, and especially since Rashi says, in Yevamos, without any qualifications, that Geri Arayos are Gerim Haim. Remember, he says that also, the Gemara says it, not only for Geri Arayos, people convert L'Shem Ishus, and nobody, to the best of my knowledge, says that someone who converts L'Shem Ishus is Osir Bakahal, because of Los Tzatimam. Firstly, we defeat the purpose. Right, because they would be able to marry, but I don't think anybody says that. So the idea to say, without Rashi spelling out what the Ravid said, it seems to me unlikely that he holds that sheet, as appealing as it is, and as much as it will solve all the problems in Rashi. But you could consider anyway that Rashi holds that Geri Arayos are Jewish. Why he says they're including the Lav Los Ischatein Bam, I don't know. Maybe he means Midrabanan and Zasmach. I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm puzzled about that. But we don't forget Rashi. My point is, don't forget Rashi Shita and Yevamos, that Geri Arayos are Jewish. Yes, then.
This third explanation, from Rashi, how is that different from the Geri mentioned earlier in Mishnah?
So the answer is because here there is some type of an Isser. Maybe it's the Rabbanon, I'm not sure. And therefore you would have thought they have no Knas. In other words, the Geri in the earlier part of the Mishnah are not Psulim. There, the Ger mentioned in the Mishnah is only about Besula. But once there's no concern over Besula, so of course a Ger is 100% fine. You wouldn't have a Havamina otherwise. But Kutim, just like Mamzer, why are you list Mamzer? You list Mamzer because since it's also Lava Bakal, since it's not Velose Elisha, so you would have thought maybe there's no Knas. And perhaps the same thing by a Kuti, because it's Velose Schatin Bab.
Oh, because there would be no concern of a Ger post.
Or a Ger who converted before the age of the Gioris, before the age of 3 years in the day.
That's the one reference to the mission. Well, not reference to the mission because there would be like no having it, she wouldn't be okay.
It's right.
A Ger post first year.
Correct. Sure.
I just realized I'm not sure this helps at all, actually. And Yevamos, I'm not sure if Yevamos is so conclusive. And Yevamos itself is also Machlokes, which we might possibly one doesn't necessarily meaning Rashi could still be quoting according to the Havamina or one of the Deos in the Gemara.
Correct.
And also the Gemara, I think, itself is not so conclusive. They say Halacha, but then I think the next price might even contradict the Halacha itself. The next price is also, what about these other Geirim, these next Geirim of ulterior motives? Oh, they are Usher to... It's Usher to have Geirim during Yimas Mashiach, which could be going back on what...
But that's again in Makablin.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
That's right. That's a Makabal. I don't know. You don't for sure Rashi Paskins. We do Paskin.
Even if I'm right, that doesn't help learning Rashi either.
Well, no, because you could say Rashi. I don't know for sure Rashi is working with that sugya, right? In other words, the Pashtus in the sugya Kiddushin is that Geri Arayos is Goyim. So which sugya is Rashi working with? I don't know. Right? Okay. Anyway, that's wrong. No, come on, don't keep, you're going to kill it, it's dead already.
Yeah.
Do you really?
It's dead, I didn't kill it. Okay. Eating a dead horse.
All right. Yes. Now, I want to just talk about Easter egg in the Torah. You should have this data at the outset, so we'll see if we can do it all. So I want to do this quickly. I highly recommend, if you can, take notes on this, okay? Here is a man. Okay? Now, he has a wife. Okay, he wears pants. She's wearing a skirt. I'm not suggesting any serum here. I'm just telling you. Okay, that's the story.
I mean, they didn't wear skirts for the first 100 years.
Isha, ish. Okay.
It's like what I be.
Okay. All right. Now, let's talk about our rayos first. Okay, we have Ashes ish. That's not in this picture. You don't need a familiar tree for that. What's the punishment for Ashes ish? Kare slash. I'm going to call it. I know you can get skila and sreifa in specific cases of Eishes Ish, but let's just call chenek as the generic. Okay. And there is chatas. Okay, it's going to be true for all the arayos. Next. This woman has a sister. Okay. I'm going to erase this just because it's a bad place to put it, okay? But a sister, yes, achos. And this is? Achos Ishta. This man has a brother. An ach. He has a wife. Okay, that's called Eishes Achiv. These two arayos, kares, no mises based. This is a unique erva, achos ishto, because it's the only one where after the death of his wife, she becomes mutaris. All of the arayos, like Eishes Ach and Eishes Av, and Eishes Beno, all those, if the man dies, you're still not allowed to, same as forever, really still applies. Okay. Let's see. He has a father and a mother. Okay. Emo is in Erva, and his father has a second wife, Eishes Av. Emo and Eishes Av are treated the same way, in that there is Skila. Okay, Ema was not explicitly mentioned in the punishments, I think, but it's just the same din as Eishes Av, even if she was never married to him. Okay, Eishes Av means a woman his father was married to. Emo is his biological mother. Okay, we're assuming everybody is Jewish here all through. Okay, no gear involved. So, kares, mises based, okay, skila. Now, the mother has a sister. She also has a brother, an ach, and he has a wife, Eishes Achi Imo. We're dealing with the four aunts here. The father has an ach, the father has an achos, the father's ach has an Eishes Achi Aviv. So there are four possible aunts, your parents' sisters and your parents' brothers' wives. The din is here. Contrary, I think, to Qumran had a different shita here. The biological aunts, both Chayiv Kares, no Misa spaced him. Eishes Achi Ha'av, which Torah calls Do Daso, Kares, no Misa spaced him. Eishes Achi Imo, only Aser Midrabanon. It's what we call Shnios La'arayos. She's not the only Shnir, I'm not going to go through all the others, but she is what we call a Shnios, amongst the Shnios La'arayos, Aser Midrabanon. Okay, the man has a son. Okay, and the son has a wife, Eishes Beno, also known as Kalaso. Isser Kares, Skila. Chatas again is relevant. Kares and Chatas apply by all of these. Okay, who else are we missing here? Are we missing any other relatives?
Bito.
No, I'm sorry. So Bito was part of the following constellation. Okay, this woman, I'm going to make this a separate chart. I'll go to the other side and I'm not going to be. You have a man, again, his wife, okay, she has a bane, she has a bas, the bane has a bas, the bas has a bas, she has a mother, she has a father. She has her father as a mother. A mother as a mother.
Okay? This man had an affair on the side with a single woman, and he had a bas. And that bas, or he had a bain. Maybe he had both. That bas has a bas, and the bain has a bas. Okay?
One, two, three.
Okay? We don't allow same-sex marriage, so we're going to leave the males out. Four, five, six, seven, eight, and nine are all arayos. They're all in the category of isha ubita. Isha ubita can apply to people who are not your biological relatives. You are married to a woman. Any woman within two generations of her falls under the category of isha ubita. Isha ubita and es bas b'nav es bas b'talos sikach lagalos erasa. Your biological daughter, even though it's not the feirush in the pasuk, is learned through a double gzeirah shava, and your granddaughters are mentioned explicitly. What is the punishment for any one of these nine women? Sreifa and Karis. There are only two things in the Torah, by the way, that get Sreifa. This and an Ashes Kohen, Bas Kohen, Shazinsa, whatever the detail is, Arusa, Nasul, whatever it is. Okay. Oddly enough, we already spoke about Aim. Your biological grandmothers are only Shneos Learayos, as bizarre and weird as that seems. Okay? In other words, there are 12 women, actually, but only 10 of them are Mises Basin. Nine are Sreifa. Your mother is Skila, and then grandmothers are Shneos Larayos, your biological grandmothers.
Being on the father's side.
Only and your mother's mother, too.
What do you mean? Did you say
your mother's mother is only a Shnia, is a Shnia.
Maybe you have him here as a...
Oh, I didn't... one second. I put Aim in, and I should put in you have a father, too. Okay, you have Aim. The mother has a mother. She has Skila. Okay, even if they were never married, obviously. And these two are Shnios.
So only those two?
Only these are the only of the 12. In other words, in respect to you, going up, three women up, three women down, your biological relatives, your wife's relatives, nine of them are Sreifa, these three blocks. Your mother, all going up on your biological side, your mother is Skila, your grandmothers are only Midrabanan. Okay. Remember that in Chazal, Arayos are not invertible. It was one of the machlokos with Qumran. In Qumran, they held that Arayos were reversible. So we hold, Chazal saying, we don't do this, that it's a mitzvah to marry a niece, a special mitzvah. The Qumran said that marrying a niece was like an aunt marrying a nephew. Right? Aunt marrying a nephew, three of the four possible aunts are Arayos d'Araisa, one is a Shnia, but if it's the opposite, an uncle marrying a niece, Chazal considered in certain cases a mitzvah.
Is that connected to how we view Avram's relation to Sarah, as well as the relationship between the incorrect, obviously, relationship between Mordechai and Esther? Could that feeling of Chazal be connected to the interpretation? I mean, pretty clear the psukim that potentially that Sarah was Avraham's niece, as well as the fact that the mistaken interpretation of saying that.
Excuse me.
No, I'm saying as in
Sarah was Avraham's niece. Okay. Well, if you don't know what he did. Forget
fine,
that.
Fine.
Don't bring me rice. It's not clear what she was, actually.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that's why. So I'm saying, could that be a reason why that's viewed positively? Also, for why people would have.
No, the reason why they said it was the mitzvah, the way the Rishonim explained is that the bond he felt with, especially his sister's daughter, that he felt the bond of love he felt with his sister would transfer over to a harmonious relationship with his sister's daughter. That was, seems to be the particular issue. That's what I think Rashi says. About why it's a mitzvah to marry niece. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the reason why. I don't know if other reasons are given by Rishonim, I don't know.
Yeah, is there any problem with the mother or grandmother of the person you had to care with?
No. Okay. Excellent. In other words, what's called mefutaso va'anusaso, which doesn't have to be the onus of fata. They could be adults, you know, technically it's mefata, I guess, of some kind, but there's no... So, of adults... of someone he had a religious relationship but never married, as long as it's not his biological relatives, there is no isser at all. So not midoraisa for sure. Now, now that you asked that question, one comment here: you can't marry your father's wife, you can't marry your mother. I mean, you can't. There are arayas with Mises Basin. What about a woman that your father had an affair had a relationship with? That is a machlokes. Put this down. Burn this into your head. It's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in Mishnayis in Meseches Yevamos. Anusas Aviv Mefutas Aviv. The Chachamim say Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Asur. but it's an erva, but it's only a lav. There's no kares. It's the only sheer basar, the only erva that I can think of, a classic style erva, which doesn't have kares or chatas, and it's just a lav.
Rabbi Yehuda?
Only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Okay. So these are the arayos. I don't think I missed any. I left out Zachor and Behema, but I believe these are all. And let's just make sure we got the Misa spaced in. There's one more, actually, I have to put on one. We got the Misa spaced in. We got the father, the father's wife, the son's wife, the Sreifa cases, and the Ashes Ish. And I think we got brother's wife, wife's sister, all the aunts. I think that's it. Now, there's one more erva, which has kares, which is probably an erva, but it's a unique kind of erva. That is
nida.
Okay, nida is unique because it may have the din of erva for Yehari V'al Yabor, but obviously it doesn't have the din of erva in terms of relationships. Fine. Next, let's talk about other types of isurim. Let's start with psulei kahal found in last week's parsha. Okay, we have mamzer. These are all now going to be isurei lavin. I'll put in nusin. It's a question mark. Machlokas. We have tsuadaka koshavcha, but not so relevant. Why? Because one of the primary foci of the discussion is what are the status of the children? And the assumption is that tsuadaka and koshavcha cannot reproduce. Okay, what else do we have? We have amoni, which we say applies only to Zacharim. It's a lotase, amoni moavi. Okay, what else do we have? No, we're talking about chayve lavin right now. We will have adomi and mitzri, so I'll put here adomi. The adomi and mitzri are what we call iser ase. Why? Because the Torah says, don't reject them. Dor shlishi yalov v'olahem b'kal Hashem. That implies, dor shlishi yalov v'olahem b'kal Hashem, but not Darishon and Darsheni. So that's called an Isra Se. It's a prohibition implied in positive language, and we paskin that Lav Haba Michlal Ase is considered an Ase, and there's no Malchus. Okay. What else? Once we're here, what else? Well, let's go back for a moment here. What other Isra Lavin might there be? Benny. Okay. Masir Gushaso Mishanises. Now, this, by the way, could sort of be considered she'er basar. Why? Because it's a product of your relationship to her. Now, the pashtus is, masya gushasa mishanesis means you're married to a woman, you divorce her. She then goes and marries another man. Not sleeps with another man, marries another man. That seems to be almost explicit in last week's parsha. Now her husband may not go, if she gets divorced or widowed from the second husband, the first husband may not remarry her. Now, there's an important point here, and I'll state it because it's going to come up in Tosfos Chaim. If we don't finish today, you'll continue Sunday if you want. Okay? Chaim wants to, I think, that he's just sweating, hoping I'll take the rest of the time here before I become meaner and start flaying him again. Okay. He's brave, by the way. This man will, at the end of the year, he'll get a hand. Yeah, okay. Quiet him. That could be considered, Benny, sher basar. Okay? What else is there? Yuvam alashok. Oh, I wanted to say one thing. The Tosfos will raise, you need to realize this, the Mamasa Grushas Mishanises. What is the prohibition with your Grusha after she married another man and, let's say, got and was widowed or divorced? What are you not allowed to do? There are two possibilities. You can't marry her, but marriage is virtually never an Isser. It's Bia that takes place after marriage. Here's my question for you. Is there an Isser of Bia? Let's say you're not going to remarry her. Just going to sleep with her. No. Is that a violation of Mamasa Grushas? Well, it depends. The way we paskin that Kiddushin or Tofsin by Chayve Lavin, you can't tell. You don't know. It could be the prohibition is even if you don't remarry her, or it could be only if you marry her. Because it says, Lo yuchal balar mishan asher shechal ashub lekachto. So maybe it's only Bia through Kiddushin, yes?
But isn't there a case if there is witnesses saying they had yichud, even if you ever did any proper kiddushin, you still have to get a secondary get?
Yeah, that doesn't relate to whether it was asur or mutter. That just says we're assuming that they had bia. That's a totally separate.
Okay, fine.
Right, that doesn't impact whether they violate anything. We're not going to give a malchus for a presumed bia. We only give malchus for a bia that we saw. Okay, so Yivama Lasha could also be sort of considered share basar. Okay? It says here, but if you hold like Rabbi Akiva by Masi Grushaso Mishanises, so then it has to be, since Kiddushin are in Tosin, if you try to remarry her, it has to be in Zubiyah, which is Tosin's makes that point. Okay. Tosin says it like this, so if you don't know the din already, you don't understand what he's talking about. If you're aware of that din, that possibility from Akiva, then you'll understand what Tosin says. What else is awesome?
Yivama Lasha is just the law.
Yes, lo siya eshes hamesa chutzal leizar. Although kiddushin might not be tosim. Yes, exactly. That's why. But zika is not like eshes ish. In zika might be enough, however, to mean kiddushin or tosim. Interestingly enough, that's I mentioned here. I think earlier this week, Rob and Shmuel had a discussion, and Yevamos, I think that Tzadi Beis about this question. All right. What else? We're not done. Shlaim.
We're gonna say eshes ish the wala or wala.
Okay. There's a shorter term for that in four letters. I'll write it with the biblical Hebrew spelling, even though the word doesn't appear in biblical Hebrew. Sota. Sotasa. That, by the way, also could, in theory, be Sher Basar. Right? It's a product of his having been married to her when she committed adultery. Okay, what else? I left out so far a whole category of Yisurim. Gadol and an almana. You know the Sephardi name, commonly Sephardi, Azulai. Most Azulai are Kohanim. Supposedly it stands for Isha Zona Vachalala Lo Yikach.
That's terrible. As in, that's like a very negative name. It's supposed to the positive powers of Kohen. You choose the.
Burnish. Come on, we're a bitter, negative people. Come on, all the things we can't do. Okay, what else? There's another assay, by the way, and that is Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Why? Because the Torah says, it's one of the jokes, one of the students told me, where in the Torah does it say Behu Isha?
Behu Isha V'Sulah Yikach.
Yes, Behu Isha V'Sulah Yikach. The pause is after Behu. Okay, anyway, it's hard to have Behu Isha. Right. He can't be a woman. Again, the United States of America in the 20th and 21st centuries might be different, but generally speaking, it's who is this? Okay,
but what about Chazal's understanding?
Moshe?
Yeah, are these all Yisurim also for the woman participating? Because
as a general rule, we assume that the Yisurim apply equally on the women. It is a Tosfos on the last Amud in the Darim who quotes, I want to say, Rav Lezeri Metz, but rejects him, who suggests that if the husband is not asura, then the woman is not asura either. In the context of a woman who says, I committed adultery, so the Mishnah says, Mishnah Rishona, she was believed. Mishnah Achrona, we said she has to bring a proof, otherwise they remain married. So the shaila is that he doesn't have to believe her, and there's no ages we understand. But isn't it asura? She knows she committed adultery. How can she continue to live with him? So Tosfos ways it possibly to reject is that if it's not asura for him, the isur starts with him and then flows to her. If he's not asura, then she's not asura either. But they reject that teretz. But the assumption of the kasha even was. The assumption even of the teretz is a general rule, both are prohibited. Okay? There's a teretz hakasav explicitly about that. I think v'nechrasu hanefashoso sos mikarev amam to draw ishan as well. Even though the isurim are stated on the man, lo segal erbasa, the isur applies equally to both. They both bring a chatas. What? Okay. Eved and shivcha. Okay. Kadesh kadesha. Okay. What, anything else? Did we forget anything?
Kaddish Kedesha is
the zone. Pashtus is the way most Rishonim. Oh, Kaddish Kedesha is evident Shifcha. It's something that's Mufka Me'ishus. A zona in the street, according to, yeah, the Ravid agrees. She's Mukdeshes and Mufkeres Liznus. But I would say the following, if we count that, you almost never see that discussed in those terms. If we count that, it's an Isser Bia, but it's really totally, totally situational. In other words, the very same act with the very same woman, if you're just sort of miyachid her, that's fine. Right, so I agree, it could be an Isser Bia, but it's kind of different than I think everybody else here, who has a personal status attached to them, at least with respect to some people. Okay?
The Sphakos?
Sphakos are the Sphakos of Manzer, so that would fit under Manzer. Okay. Yes.
Kohen Grusha, Kohen Gadol, Amana, and Kaddish Kadesh are the same category?
No, no, no. These are different things. Grusha is a halal to any Kohen. Amana to Kohen Gadol.
I understand. I'm saying...
They're just Lavin.
They're just
so they're the same Lavin.
No, they're separate. They're, these are different separate Lavin.
Are you categorizing them? Or I have just one category.
No, no, no. These belong in the same category. Okay?
Okay.
Fine. Now, I think that's all. Once you, this will be very helpful if you go over this and you know this when you learn Omud Beis, to know as the Gemara goes through the Shitas within Rabbi Akiva. Here's what we do know. Firstly, there are three Shitas on what makes a Manzeris. Mises Beis Din, Kares, or Lavin. Now, there are many different varieties. Now, we Paskin Kares, and the exception for us is Nida. Why? You say, hey, Nida, Salavav. They're still married when she's a Nida. Rabbi Akiva, even if you take an expansive view, also has one exception. Ba'al Sota. If his wife committed adultery and she's a Suratim, but he now subsequently sleeps with her and has a child from that, the child is kosher. Why? Because they're still married. Right? You don't say that the woman commits, you know, I know it's a horrible thing to say, but you know, I have a piece of Eitzah for a woman who has an Aguna problem. Right, just commit adultery and resolve your kiddushin. If you held like a Rabbi Akiva, right? All right, you have to violate it once. You violate it one time, make sure you don't have a child from that bia, and you're free. Obviously not. Rabbi Akiva doesn't say that. The whole point is, once you're married, you need to get to the zalva, to get or the death of the husband. So if someone's wife commits adultery, she's still married, then the kiddushin are still tosin, and therefore the child, even for Rabbi Akiva, is a kosher. Okay, I think.
You almost solved all the Aguna issues.
Oh, well, we don't pass over Rabbi Akiva anyway, so. Since we hold the highly loving Kiddushin of Tosin, even if Rabbi Akiva actually held that way, and Marcus of the Pharisee doesn't, wouldn't sell them. But, no.
This would be the first time.
What's that?
This would be the first time someone cut.
It's not an ideal solution to tell someone to violate one of the Ten Commandments once so they'll be free the rest of their lives.
That and hoping that the Aiden had iPhones.
What's that?
That and hoping the Aiden's wedding had iPhones. And therefore, possible Aiden's.
Yeah. How could I forget? Okay. Are there any questions about the Arayas? So this should help you once you have this all, right? I think that gets everybody in the rest of the Tosis too, right?
I think so.
Fine. Once you know all of this data, what we start to do in the next part gets easier. Let me leave you with one thought that before I turn my attention to other things. Say, Chaim, I told you it worked. It worked. Got me talking. Okay. The Gemara is going to, we're going to do it next week. We're going to be moving on by Monday. I suspect we will be have gone through at least the Gemara initially. The Gemara is going to try to figure out when is Rabbi Akiva Shita. We know Rabbi Akiva is the most machmir legabe when Kiddushin and Tosin. There are at least four places where you could draw the line for Rabbi Akiva, where you would say Kiddushin and Tosin. One, which would seem to be his opinion in the Mishnah, even though I don't think anybody actually goes there, is that Rabbi Akiva says you only have mamzerus from she'er basar, which means it has to be arayos. But he says, even if there is only Malkos, Kol She'er Basar Shehu Belo Yavo is the formulation. If that's the case, to what extent does Rabbi Akiva differ with Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, who says only Chavi Krisis? Where do you have an Erva where it's only Alav? She'er Basar? Only if Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Amu Sasadid and Mefuta Sadid is an Isser Lo Saseh. I'll tell you now also, quickly, what is the makor for mamzerus? How do you know what's a mamzer? Because a pasuk away from mamzer, one pasuk division, I think tzuadaka comes in between, but right before the tzuadaka pasuk, which precedes mamzer, you have lo yikach ish es eishes aviv, velo yigaleh kenaf aviv. So eishes aviv, we know what that is. But what is velo yigaleh kenaf aviv? So Rabbi Yeshua says, it's just repeating. The two halves of the pasuk are the same thing. So velo yigaleh kenaf aviv is eishes av. And so Mamzer is compared to Mamzer comes from Eishes Av, and Eishes Av is Mises Beis Din. Rav Shimon HaTemani says Kenaf Aviv is the Kanaf, the beget that's waiting for Bia from his father. Who is that? It's Eishes Achi Aviv who's waiting for Yivam, Shomeres Yavam Shel Aviv, and that entails the punishment only of Kares, and therefore Mamzerus comes from that. And Rabbi Yehuda says Kenaf Aviv is Kenaf Shera Aviv. Lo yigala. That's even anusas avit and mefutas avit. And since there is no other pasuk that talks about this, the only isser is the lo yigala kenaf aviv. It's a lav, And that's the standard for Manzeros. Now, I don't know if anybody really in the end says Rabbi Akiva limits it to Sher Basar. And maybe, again, Yavama Lashuk might be Sher Basar, Machzik Rushasa might be Sher Basar. Sota Rabbi Akiva anyway makes an exception, so it's irrelevant. The next step is to assume that Rabbi Akiva assumes that all Chayvei Lavin. Okay, not just Sher Basar Lavin, but all Chayvei Lavin. That's the way we usually quote Rabbi Akiva. That's a second possible position. Third possible position is that Rabbi Akiva holds that even Chayvei Asay, but he might make one exception. What would the exception be? The Ula the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because it's an Asay She'eino Shava Bakol. In other words, the other Asays apply to everybody. But the Asay of Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, that's different. In fact, I should now add, there's a fifth possible... What?
If he makes an exception for Eino Shava L'Kohen, why doesn't he also make an exception for Kohen?
Because it's a law, but there really can be even a fifth sheet. The possibility exists that Isurei Kahuna do not create Mamzeris because the Torah says they create halalos. You might have seen that line, I think, on Kiddush Ayin Ham and Beis. It was in the small print. Okay, the Gemara used that to prove that Rabbi Elazar did not hold like Rabbi Akiva Lagabe Chayvei Lavin. Okay, so there may be even to say, but somehow squeeze out a fifth position there. But our Gemara, I think, is going to somehow. I think it's. Oh, you're right. No, I think about it. You're right, Danny. Starts with Lavin, but not Kahuna. Then even Almana LeKohen Gadol, but maybe not Asay, and then maybe Asay. But not the Ula Kohen Gadol because it's not Station of Shavu Lakol and Aaron Gemara. Those are four possible positions to Aaron Gemara. It doesn't consider the possibility implied by the Mishnah that only Lavin of Sher Basar. Okay, this is a very broad introduction to all of Isurei Bia. If you want to read a very nice summary, a little more detailed, you could read, I believe, the Rambam, the first paragraph of Hilchos Isurei Bia. But you need to know. You should really burn into your head at least this. So that as you read the upcoming daf, you will have an appreciation. It will make it much your life much easier in terms of what the Gemara is doing and what a number of the Rishonim are doing. Okay. Are there any questions about this?
Why are the Sheva Umos not included? I forgot.
Sheva Umos? Well, they might. If there is a prohibition, big Yerusha, when they're married, then we could add the following. God. Oh, it did it again to me. Goy, derech chasnus. How's that? Okay. So los ischaten bam is either that, or some rishonim is this.
I'm back.
Oh, okay. All right. Any questions about this? Okay. Well done, Chaim. Okay. You can continue on Sunday. Okay. Okay, let me stop this.